Are you a digitally savvy or aspiring travel business owner wanting to shake things up in 2024? Then you need to join us for the Travel Trend Summit on the Gold Coast in May. Travel Trend is the ultimate one-day live event that is hell-bent on bridging the gap between our travel business owners and their untapped potential of successfully having a standout travel brand and digital influence in the online world. Want more? Head to stephaniemyers.academy/traveltrend and grab your tickets now. Trust me, guys, you do not want to miss out on this event. Be quick as spots are strictly limited. See you there. Hey, I'm Steph, and I'm obsessed with all things travel, marketing, branding, and helping you stand out from the crowd. In just under 2 years, I went from being a home-based travel agent with zero clue how to make it work in the digital world to launching an international ranking travel podcast and creating an online course to help travel agents in lead generation. Here's one thing I know for sure. There has never in the history of the world been a better time to create the travel business you've always wanted. All you need is an actionable strategy and someone to show you the way. Picture this, we're going to spend the next hour of our time together at the Swim Up Pool Bar, where over a cocktail, we deep dive into travel-related topics, mixed with a little classroom training. This show is dedicated to encouraging you to step outside of your comfort zone and into your travel business. I'll show you how I did it and how you can too. Hit subscribe now and let's get into it. If you're a travel agent wanting to stand out in the digital world, but you struggle with consistency, tech isn't your jam, and you have no idea where to start, join my free masterclass where I talk about exactly this. Head to stephaniemyers.academy/masterclass. You're listening to Unplug in Paradise, the podcast. This show starts in 3, 2, 1. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode on the Unplug in Paradise podcast. I'm your host, Steph. If you're tuning in for the first time, welcome to the show. If you are a loyal listener, thank you so much for returning and binging on another epic episode. We've got so many awesome ones lined up in the coming weeks, and we've already released some absolute bangers this year. So if you haven't yet added yourself to our dedicated Facebook group, please head over and do that. It's Unplug in Paradise listener community. Search for us, add yourself, and join all the like-minded travel advisors and industry pals in the industry in the group, where you can all discuss the episodes, discuss what the biggest takeaways were, and yeah, if you've got any suggestions or anyone in particular you would like to see on the show, you can also drop your suggestions and recommendations in the group as well. So yeah, let me know if you've got anything that you want covered in the podcast episodes that are coming up after our Travel Trend Summit, because before then we have so many juicy episodes with our upcoming speakers. So this first one kicks things off for our speaker series. So we are today speaking with Nicole O'Sullivan. So Nicole is a veteran inside of the travel industry. She's been in the industry for 20 plus years, and she definitely knows what's going on when it comes to travel, our unique style of serving people. She's been in the industry herself for a amount of years, and she's also worked between Australia and America. So she also has that beautiful way in that tie-in between how it's so different between here and America, which I really loved diving into in this episode. But yeah, really looking forward to hearing your feedback. And looking forward to diving in with Nicole. It's a big juicy one today, so making sure that you're on a long drive or you're going for a long walk. We're going to be covering all the behind the scenes of what Nicole's life and career has looked like to date, and how she serves travel agents in this space of sales and conversion and boosting your sales strategies. And something that we're really looking forward to at the Travel Trend Summit this year. So we're thrilled to have Nicole on board. Let's go over and meet her. Let's dive into it.
Welcome to the podcast, Nicole.
Thank you so much, Steph. Thank you for having me.
So when did you start in travel? Like, when did travel come onto your radar? Like, was it straight out of school? Did you have an interest whilst you were at school or after school? Did you travel much? Where did it all begin for you?
Well, yeah, kind of. I think for me, I'm one of the first in the family, right? So I'm the oldest of three. And for me, it's just been a sense of adventure. So as soon as I turned 21, I was out of here. I booked my round the world ticket and was so scared, but like excited at the same time. I used to be very much reliant on everyone doing everything for me. And not saying that was how I lived my life, but I was very reliant on my mum to do, mum, can you come to the bank and open a bank account with me? Like, she's like, come on, and so when I went down to book my ticket, it was like, oh wow, I'm really flying the coop here. I'm just gonna go for it. And I went by myself. I flew to America.
So trip overseas, you went all by yourself.
Yeah, and I've got a kind of a funny story about that. So I was on a United Airlines flight to Los Angeles, and I was on the last seat on the plane, the end. And it was the worst turbulence in my life. And the lady next to me grabbed my hand and started praying and thought that we were going to die. And I went, great. Oh, this is my first trip and this is how it's going to end, Like, it was like, but hey, it was
like, okay, I was already scared. Now I have just as reasons to be scared to be scared.
Yeah, it was nuts. Like, we couldn't write that any better, right? But yeah, so I have family in America, which was exciting to sort of stay with them. So stay with them for as long as my visa allowance was, so 90 days to the day. And then I flew to London, and I had a cousin living there at the time, and I was kind of just basing myself there for a couple of weeks. And then we have family friends, I guess, that live in Ireland. So they live in Belfast, actually. So they had sort of offered their house to me, and I was like, okay, because I guess living in London, every Aussie goes to London. So you go to a bar and you had a chat with someone from back home, right? So you're like, oh, I'm not living here. So yeah, I moved to Belfast, and I lived there for a couple of years, and that was. The intro into the travel space, I guess. And, everyone used to talk about, oh, you're from Australia. And I would just love talking about where we live. And someone said, you should work in tourism. Like, you'd be so good at promoting. I want to go to Australia based on what you've said, And I never really thought of that, because I got my degree in graphic design, and I left university to be like, right, I'm going to be a graphic designer. And it just wasn't my passion, right? I love to draw and I love to do that, but it wasn't my, I love talking about experiences and things like that. So yeah, when I got home in 2006, I went, man, what should I do with my life? And I was like, do I go back and do I actually do, graphic design, or do I do, I think I worked at Harris Scarf at the time, and I was like, oh, maybe I can go back there. And I was like, nah, there's a travel agency opportunity. And I'm like, I'm going to just go for that. And that was that. That was my introduction to travel. And 15 years later, I've got to do some amazing things, travel to amazing places, and meet some amazing people that are now lifelong friends. So, that's kind of how it all began, really.
So that's where the travel bug bit you, so to speak.
Hard. Yeah.
So what sort of things from when you started in the travel agency, what sort of things were you kind of passionate about? Because I know, once you start into a travel agency, you're supposed to be the expert of the entire world, but what was the sector of travel that kind of really drew your attention or your love, something that you love talking about? Like, say, for example, if you were to niche down into something, what would you have niched down to?
I don't know about niching. I feel like for me, it was just the connection for me. It took me a little while to get that it was a sales job, to be completely honest with you. I could talk to people for hours just about their holiday. And, I think I remember my manager at the time being like, Nicole, you know, when you actually talk to people, you're supposed to book them. You know, like I was like, you know, it took me a little while to kind of get the gist. You know, so I'm surprised they didn't kick me out after 6 months, but I'm glad they didn't. And so in terms of like niching, I think for me, I mean, I used to have a real passion for the States because I had family there. So for me, I sort of got dubbed the USA expert. Like I'd you know, I'd know all the ins and outs and all the places to go and not go. You know, so I kind of became a bit of a specialist in that space. So I did love talking about America, and I always had this burning itch to live there because why wouldn't you? And yeah, so I like every time I'd go on holiday, I'd go to America and visit my family. And then the amount of consulate visits that we would go and see, how on earth could I get an opportunity to move? Like, and it would, you know, I'd kind of leave every time a bit disheartened, like, oh, it's just not gonna happen, you know. But
and it's so such a daunting experience, like especially consulate visits, you have no control over them.
No, and they're like, no, you're not American, you can't, you know. And it's like, I just don't feel like that. I'm accepting that as an answer. I'm just gonna keep trying, you know. So yeah, and that's what happened, right? So
I love your perseverance.
Thank you.
And where did that take you? Where did your perseverance take you after that?
So after a couple of years, you know, I jumped into a couple of different roles here in Oz. So like I, you know, after year two of being in travel, I ended up being an assistant manager to in a business, and then I got the opportunity to run a store. So from that, it was, you know, it was quite like, wow, okay. So by the age of like, what, 20, 23, 24, I'm running a multi-million dollar business and hoping to God I know what the hell I'm doing. But, you know, and yeah, so I think that was really a cool experience. It taught me a lot about resilience and about, you know, sticking to your values and really putting time and effort into your people, because if you do that, that's what flourishes your business. That's what your reputation is stamped on, is how you create that environment for customers to feel like they matter and that their holiday matters. It doesn't matter if it's a Gold Coast or a USA or a Europe trip. It all is so unique and so exciting that you're now part of their journey and you're helping it come to fruition. So that was always my ethos in my business, and that's what really I ingrained into my team when I was running that business. And then, like I said, I always just had this burning desire to do and move and do something different. And then, like I said, I always would feel a little disheartened after a USA trip, going, oh man, I just don't know. You know, I even thought about switching to an international travel company to go, maybe they could move me over there. And then going, well, hang on, I am part of an international travel company. So I just started asking people, going, does anyone know anyone in America? Does anyone know, you know? And that was just how it landed. I ended up speaking to someone who knew someone in America, and they were hiring for a wholesale role, actually. And I was like, I don't care, I'll just do it.
That's my in.
Yeah, I'll just do it. And then I learned that the role was in Las Vegas, and I was like, are you joking? Like, this is so cool. And yeah, and I guess like my team had won an accolade to get ourselves, like we'd turned the business around so much that we got an accolade to get our whole team to go to a Paris awards night, which was amazing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then from there, that like June 30 was, we made it to the accolades. And then I had my interview the next day, and then I got told I got was successful to go to America. And I was like, oh, it was very overwhelming.
Oh my God. Don't you love it when everything happens at once and it's like the ripple effect? Boop, boop, boop.
Oh, it was insane. I was like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to laugh, cry. Like, I don't know what to do.
Scream.
Yeah, exactly. And then so, a couple of months later, so that was in June. And then by August, I'd pack my bags and off I trotted to Vegas. And I was now an officially working girl in Vegas, which is really cool.
Unreal. What a place to start out, though.
I know. And it was really cool. So working in wholesale in America was really, it was just eye-opening. Like I became the small fish in the big pond again, right? Because it was like, oh my God, I have to learn Saber, which I was what? I'd use Galileo forever. And then I was like, okay. And then I had to learn the back end of the system, not the point and click and the pretty pictures. I had to learn all of the back end.
The code.
Blue screen, the codes. And I was like, So, you know, and then when I was, so I was supposed to be a store, like a team manager, I guess, for the Las Vegas branch. And what our role was is that we were selling what they called exotic travel, which was basically everything but America and Caribbean, Mexico. And so I was supposed to be having like a team, like I was supposed to hire a team, but for some weird reason, I don't know why, and maybe people that are listening might relate, but it's going in Nevada, in Vegas, people just fail background checks all the time. So I just couldn't establish a team that were travel experienced, and or like if they were, then they weren't passing background checks for weird and wonderful reasons. So it was just me. It was just a team of me for a little while, and it was full on. It was you know, I'd get in the morning. So I looked after all of the West Coast, Central America, pretty much up until pretty much if you split America in half, I looked after all of that, the middle to the west side. So all of the travel agents in that pocket. So there's hundreds and hundreds. And you know, I looked after that time zones, and then my East Coast counterparts, which was the majority of the team, would look after the rest. So they would close, and then it'd be all be me by myself, you know.
It was full, and especially with the population of America and the demand on travel having been such a massive country, and domestic being a huge part of their market.
Huge, yeah. And international travel, not so much, right? So they don't have a lot of time off. Their culture is so much different to ours, right? Like we just take our holiday for granted, you know, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, sweet, you know. They're like just banging 2 weeks, and they're thinking 2 weeks is like really a stretch, and they're like, you know, I mean, I need to make sure that when I travel, I have to have full Wi-Fi, have to be able to be connected through to work still. Like they're still full working, you know, which was different to try and get into that mindset. But I think for me, I looked at it as a bit of a privilege, like, oh my God, they have 2 weeks a year. You know, that's like what, 8% of their lot, like their year. And I get to help them make that amazing. So that was like, you know, the mindset that I had. And then trying to help the travel agents or the travel advisors that would call, a lot of them, you know, were independent agents or they were working from home, so they didn't get a lot of support. So when they'd ring, a lot of the time, like, you know, like Fran was cooking her fried chicken and the, you know, and she's just quickly whipping a quote together, and it was like, okay, Franny, I need you to get this booking, you know, like you're working really hard, you're doing two jobs, let me help you get this booking. Like, we don't even
get away from the kitchen, get down the spatula,
yeah,
turn off the stove and go
exactly. So it was just, it was great fun. Like, there were so many great like personalities that we worked with, but I think the gap was that, you know, the basic qualifying things, you know, what's your customer's name? Where are they? Why are they going on this holiday? Like, this is 2 weeks of their life that they get to do. Like, why are they going to this destination? What do they want to see? What do they want to do? Do they have a budget in mind that we need to be respectful of? Like, those key things, they didn't have any of that. So here I was like kind of going into this, like, it was almost like going into the MasterChef kitchen or the MasterChef pantry with the lights off and trying to create a recipe with no idea what I'm grabbing. Like, what a hit and miss, right? And so I'm sitting here going, how am I going to help these guys make these bookings happen? So I said to myself, I can't spend an hour every consultation. I need to take a little bit of control here. So I just started saying, I was like, guys, you know, you need to have these five things. If you don't have these five questions or these five answers to your customer questions, like, I'm really sorry, but we're not going to get this booking. So I know you've been on hold for a really long time, but I'm going to send you away because my job is to help you get the booking. And that was, I just took on that as a bit of a,
gosh, you were like a closer.
Yeah. Exactly. I was like, I'm your private superhero. My job is to help you look good. So I want to get you the booking and, you know, and at the same time I needed to make money too. Right. So
the fact that you're over it, like inundated with calls, says something, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Exactly.
Like they have to rely on you
to be the expert.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. When all of us travel advisors, and I can only speak from experience here in Australia, it's like we are our very own experts and we have trust in what we're saying, what we're talking about, and where we know exactly where our passions lie. But how good to be able to have that professional freedom that we can actually speak about the things that we love rather than going second guessing themselves and seeking validation at every turn, in which case ended up in a phone call to you.
Yeah, 100%, exactly. Because they'd be like, Australia? Like, that's so far. And then you'd pick up and you'd have the accent and they're like instantly like, oh my God, thank God she knows what to do, you know?
The perfect person. Tell me everything. And you're like, Australia's a big place too.
Yeah. They're like, we have 2 weeks and we want to do all these things. I'm like, okay, let's understand what the client wants to do, because it's, you know, our country fits in your country and it's pretty big, you know? And they're like, really? You know, that stuff was really cool. And helping, you know, them sound confident too. And a lot of the time I'd ask that question, are you sitting in front of your customer now? Yeah. Do you want to put me on speakerphone? Let's co-consult. Let's do this together. Let's really win them over. And that to them, they'd never had anybody in as an expert wholesaler to call and have that companionship and that relationship building, where it's like, I'm here with you. I'm sitting by your side and we're doing this together. You know, like that was my, that's just who I am. I just want to help people and get them to look and feel good and confident about what they're doing. So,
but honestly, you don't get that here in Australia, Nicole. Like, you are one out of like a million people that would
really
do that. Well,
yeah. Well, you know, I guess I never really got that either. Really, was it when I was selling travel myself here? So, yeah, so then I didn't really realise, but at the time, the company that I worked with, they had introduced a sales coaching tool where they were listening to calls and they were quality assuring them, scoring you out of 100 based on did you get the booking or not get the booking and why did you think you not get the booking. So I didn't know, but my calls were getting recorded and listened to, and I basically got tapped on the shoulder and said, you need to come and work with us in this space. Like, what you've done to your own business, we need you to replicate that to other businesses. And it's like, oh, like,
who, me?
I packed my bags and I drove to New Jersey across the states, and
another adventure,
which was really fun. We and a friend of mine who ended up being my boss at the time, we road tripped, and we she's a really big foodie, and she and I had downloaded an app on our phone. I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but there's a show in America called Diners, Drive-Ins and Dives. And it's
sounds fun.
Yeah, it's a celebrity chef, Guy Fieri, and he basically goes in and does these things, and he's got this app. So our rule was we couldn't eat at any chain restaurants. We couldn't do any of that. We had to follow the app. So we basically mapped a road trip based on where we were eating. So it was really fun.
Oh my God, that sounds amazing.
It was, oh,
I would jump on a trip like that. Follow my belly wherever it goes.
And some of the food we tried, I've never had anything so incredible in my entire life. Like, it was unbelievable. So really, it was a really cool trip to do. And so then I got to New Jersey. So I made home in Hoboken in New Jersey, which was where Cake Boss is, and Frank Sinatra was around that space. So, you know, just a little stone's throw from Manhattan, which was amazing. And so that's where I kind of really got my groove. Like, I did sales coaching for 2 years and I loved it. And it was just that. Listening to calls for one was interesting. Like, you know, hearing the two sides of the conversation, not just the one, was really eye-opening. And it got to the stage where I started being a little bit of a whisperer, right? I'd pause a call and go, I already know what you're going to say, what they're going to say, and the outcome. Like, I just know, like, from the opening statement, what's going to happen. And I also wanted to make sure that people weren't obsessing about the score. It's not about if you got 100. Like, 100's great, but did you build the connection? And would they book with you? Would they come back to you? If they went to their dinner table at night and said, you know, I just met a travel advisor today, what would they say? Like, that's what you want to build, right? That's the most important part. So to give people that realization and to sit and coach them in that one-to-one space was so empowering. And I loved just giving them those practical tips that they could actually implement into their business instantly and actually start to really see results. So that was amazing. So that, yeah, I did that. And that's probably where my own business really kind of started. I mean, I could probably talk and talk about all the other things in between, but ultimately that was the spark that lit inside me and went, oh my God, I want to help more people. Like, I want to help show them the potential by just listening and asking great questions, but not questions to ask the question. Like, you know, one of my rules was don't ask a question if you do nothing with the answer. You know, why are you asking? Is it to go, oh, because I need to fill in the field in the boxes? Like, you know, how many people, what are the dates? You know, how long are they going for? Do they need accommodation? You know, it's all very checkboxy, right? And we need to know that information, but there's a different way that you can ask it to get a real connection to the customer. And that was
absolutely just doing it in the, you know, connection seeking sense. So rather than trying to seek information and just being like an order person, which I think there's a big discrepancy in the service world, whereas you can be an order taker at McDonald's and have a script. Hi, what can I get you?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, okay, would you like anything else? Okay, drive through. Like,
yeah,
exactly. Every time you go to Macca's drive through, it's the same thing. But like in the service industry, when it comes to travel or any other like service based industry where you're actually trying to build relationships with that person, yeah, I feel like we've gotten a bit lost in our way. And you may agree with me. And I know that there's a ton of agents out there in industry, people that are like, yeah, we know the internet yeah, stuffed us up. We weren't prepared for an online platform to connect our travelers to the world and potentially over decades, that be like the main place where people would book their trips. We weren't prepared for that. We didn't see it coming.
No, exactly.
And then we've had to compete with this ever-evolving beast, but how do we like shuffle in out of that? Like, and this is one of those things, right? Like where we've got to continuously try and be ourselves and give a little piece of ourselves to the people. So I know that when I was in retail, I can relate to your story when you said you used to just love chatting with people. And, you know, I come from like a retail background where I used to work in a surf shop and I used to continuously be told, you are the coach of cool. If people love the way that you look and love the way that you dress, people are going to buy from you.
Yeah.
Okay. You are the coach of cool. You know, like, and I'm like, the coach of cool. I'm like, this is a bit, I don't know, sadistic to tell a 17-year-old girl. Like, her ego is already big enough. She works at a surf shop. Like, don't do it to me. Anyway, that had its own problems. But yeah, it was one of those things. Okay, cool. I had to look a certain way and dress a certain way. So I had like a $1,000 clothing tab because I wanted to look the best, because I knew if I look my best, people were going to see, oh, she looks great, I want what she's wearing.
Yeah.
And that way I could sell more. But when you're in travel, you're not selling anything. You're selling an experience. But being able to kind of tip off that experience or to get that experience over the line, that experience starts with you and it starts with sharing little tiny bits about yourself. Like even if that person goes home to their dinner table and goes, oh my God, I just met Nicole at a travel agency today and she likes pineapple on pizza as well. She's my girl. Like, we just vibe. Yeah, do you know what I mean? It doesn't take much, but it's those little things to make that emotional connection.
Totally.
That makes people go, oh, okay, I feel safe with this person. This person understands me because they also understand what it's like to have a really deep-rooted passion of pineapple on pizza. Do you know what I mean? I'm just saying that as a...
About the pineapple on the pizza. I'm just saying, yeah, absolutely. No, you're absolutely right. Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I think that that's like 100% understand, right? Because, you know, I also worked in a business where, you know, yeah, it was about the cheapest price and, you know, you're putting on your window boards every week, you know, the most cheapest flight to Sydney, which you know in your heart is for a 6 a.m. on a Wednesday morning.
$65.
You know, that's the best one it's going to have, you know. But at the end of the day, it was about going, okay, let's think about the bigger picture here. What is a market? What is marketing, right? Marketing is like you're going fishing and you're throwing out the net and you hope you, when you trawl it in, you're going to get some leads, right? Now, they might be the little fish jumping around in there, but are they the ones that you can kind of work towards, you know, winning over, right? Because it's kind of going, if you're out to fish for your life, you know, the little ones mean a lot, right? You can feed off those. You can, you know, the big fish are going to keep you hungry for, or are going to keep you full for a lot longer, right? But ultimately everything counts. And it's going, sometimes when you look at marketing, all you're doing is you're bringing it in, but it's going, it might not necessarily be that thing that they came in for. It might just be getting them on the hook just to get a bit of a bite to see what it's about. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, like even a customer coming in to me and asking for a brochure or asking for an online tidbit or something like that, to me, it's going, I've got to look a little bit beyond the scope here. What's their why? Like what's their motivation? And I just have had this belief that no one ever, in my experience, and I'll happily be challenged on this, no one wakes up in the morning and goes, I'm just going to go and waste Steph's time today. I'm just going to get up and...
Are you sure?
drive in my car and or pick up the phone or Google or whatever it is, right? Like, I genuinely believe that no one purposefully does that. Whether their communication style makes us feel like, are you joking? Like, you know, that's us to work through those, you know, internal things that we've experienced in our time, you know, because we've obviously had a little bit of like PTSD with some customers where we're like, oh my God, you know, that wasn't a great experience. Or, you know, and hey, I've had documents flown at my head and I've had swearing customers and I've had all that, you know, we've all been there. But I think it's just kind of going, all right, I've got to understand the root or the actual seed that's been planted. Like, what is that and how do I water it for it to grow and flourish and continue to grow, right? It's not just the now, it's the future. And I always think that, right? It's like going, they might just be my Sydney client now, but and they might be my Sydney client next week, or, you know, they might be just doing that Melbourne to Delhi flight back and forth for the cheapest price. But the more you build that trust and the more you build that connection, they're now going to trust you with their big New Zealand holiday with their family, you know, or whatever that may be. And that's, for me, always been that guiding light for what I look at. It's like, it's not just the now, it's the future. And how am I, it might be a little fish to start with, but it turned into a big juicy one later, you know, like they're those things for me. I just have always believed that theory. I just really don't believe that someone's just purposefully going to waste our time.
Yeah, no. And it's hard, like, especially when we're working from home, everything that we do, or if we have an independent travel agency and it's just us, we're a solo artist.
Yeah.
It's really hard and we take it really personable because we are the business.
Totally.
So when someone comes into our space, and let's talk about referrals for a moment.
Yeah.
Referrals obviously are a huge part of our repeat business when it comes to just us being at home. Obviously, we have X amount of hours in the day. Usually the people who go independent normally have families at home, so they do it for the added flexibility, or they do it because, you know, they want to create a better lifestyle or that freedom inside of their, you know, their lives. So when it comes to those referrals, like, not every single referral that comes through is a good referral.
Yeah.
So being able to have the intelligence and the emotional capacity to vet that person to go, hang a second, maybe that person's not the right fit for me. But also knowing when it is time to, like, kind of go, oh, okay, well, actually I have another travel agent friend who would like be super suitable for you.
Yeah.
Let's get you guys connected. It's not that you don't want to deal with them as a person. Like, you're still nurturing that connection. You're nurturing that fish, big, beautiful, juicy fish. But you're doing it in a way that honors them, because if you can't possibly have the capacity, or if you're at capacity with your already clients, or if you're struggling with personal stuff in your life and it's kind of edging into your work life, like, you've got to honor the business by saying, okay, cool, I have someone else that would love to look after you. And, you know, swing back and let me know how everything's going. And, you know, I feel like that's a huge thing, but also having the skill to go, okay, cool, is this a person that I want in my fish tank or in my you know, fish family, or do I, can I let this one go?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're absolutely right. And I think that's where we have evolved pre-internet days, right, is that, yeah, sometimes you do get flooded with inquiry that isn't your jam, right? They're not your people, and that's okay. And I think that, you know, you can't drink from the fire hydrant all the time, right, because you just get overwhelmed and you'll drown, right? Like, it's just not, it's not feasible. And you know, and I think going back to the marketing kind of concept, going, yeah, sometimes you cast the net out and you do drag in some stuff, right? And you go, yeah, but it's not, you don't have to be everything to everybody. And as long as you know who you are, what you stand for, what do you practice every day, and you're true to that, then you start to have that really good personal branding that's, you know, you're confident, you know how to help someone, or you know how to recommend to something, you know, hey, I'm not probably the one for you at the moment, but here's someone that I can, as long as you've got that network and that family around you. And I think that, you know, and maybe you can speak to this a little bit, but going in, being independent, yeah, you might feel like you're isolated and you're on your own, but you've got to get out there and you've got to network and you've got to know who's in and around you, and surround yourself with some really good people that are going to really help leverage you in that space. You know, that also includes your wholesalers, your BDMs, all those things, all those people that surround you absolutely help prop you up, you know. And I think that that's where we've just got to be, we don't have to be everything to everybody, and you don't have to say yes all the time. You just have to have some boundaries that you stick to and okay with, so that when someone does say, what do you mean? I was told by someone that you would be my person. And you're like, yeah, well, I really appreciate that. But, you know, from what you're telling me and everything like that, I just feel the right fit for you is going to be this, you know, and that's okay. You can just own it.
Yeah. I think sometimes it's hard to do that.
Yeah.
Especially when you don't want to be seen as ungrateful.
Yeah. Oh, I totally understand that. Yeah, absolutely. But look, you know, I think that there's a lot of incredible business owners out there that are doing the best they can. And I think it's just going, just know you've got some support in your corner. And if you do need help, you're not alone, right? There's so many people that have gone through what you're going through, and it's not a silly thing that you're thinking or feeling, because we're all probably have gone through that, you know, at some stage in our journey. So it's lean on those. And that's why, you know, I love what you get to do with your Travel Trend Summit. You know, it's that gathering the groups together to go, hey, we're a family and we can really help each other be set up for success. And that's pretty awesome to have that. Wish I had that back in the day. So, you know.
Hey, well, it's not too late. You know, we've got it going now. So,
exactly. Yes.
So yeah, with the Travel Trend Summit, we're so fortunate enough to have you as a guest speaker, and I'm so excited for our workshop session with you. A little sidestep though in conversation, and I know this is something that we're not going to be covering at the event, but just something that's kind of been at the forefront of my mind hearing you speak about your experience here in Australia versus your experience in the States. Is there a very simple comparison that you could offer of where our strengths lie versus where the strengths lie with the American agents? Because I feel like there is a huge differentiation between the two job roles and where we could potentially do better and where they could potentially do better. So just as like a bird's eye view.
Ah, I like what you put there.
There you go.
Yeah, thanks for the plug. So yeah, look, it is vastly different, and I think being really flexible and adaptable really helped me to really kind of hit the ground running there. I think I would say the vast difference that I've experienced in Australia is that we just get to travel and we don't really mind how far it is. Like, I think we've got a very adventurous spirit, Australians, and you know, we really, from the get, you know, most people from the minute they leave high school, they're out doing their contingency, they're out doing their, you know, and there's no fear of traveling. I think in terms of destination knowledge and experience, I think we absolutely run circles around the American market and how they travel. And I think they're getting better. But I think, you know, the reality is that knowing the stats that only 40% of Americans own a passport, that's a lot of people that don't, right? So
absolutely. Wow, that's huge, especially yeah. The country is so massive. So and then that domestic market kicks in too.
Exactly. So, you know, and I'm talking when I'm selling travel over in America, you know, I've got people that are going back to Disney for the 12th time in Florida because that's what they know, that's what they love, and they spend $10,000 every year to go to Disney for a week. And I'm like,
Disney's cool, but
yeah, why don't you try Tokyo? And they're like, oh no, it's too far, you know. So it's that's the very contrasting difference in saying that one where we have no fear of where we travel, and when we crave new destinations, like, you know, that is my purpose in my life, right? I've now met a partner who thankfully is also on the same page, but it's going, you know, like, I have to travel somewhere new every year. It's a non-negotiable for me. It's got to be, I need to go somewhere that I've never been before. Happy to go back to places, that's okay. But every year's got to be a new year, a new year of a new destination. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like I just hit 42 countries, and not 40, but I did 40 before 40. And now my new goal is 50 before 50. You know, I'm a little.
Oh, hello.
That's good, right? But it's going, you got to have those goals to keep that, you know, that thirst. Whereas, that was always commented to me or mentioned to me when I lived there was, wow, I can't believe, you know, you just moved countries and you've traveled to all these places. Like, that boggled their brains. Like, they couldn't believe someone who would be like that and be happy to go and try and do that. Where they also excel, though, is that they're very, very good with service. Like, you know, they really go above and beyond. I'm not saying we don't, but they have this way of how they handle, you know, some even places that they don't know. Like, so they kind of have that real upbeat, like, yeah, okay, you know, and they might not have a clue, but they do know that their the network in the travel space over in the US is huge. They do a lot of travel showcases. So they have a lot, they invest a lot of time and money into bringing their families all together so that they can get that networking. So their networking is really powerful over there.
So they get their families together. What does that mean? So they have their families and their family's friends. So, is that right?
Yeah. So it's kind of like going like your host agencies, right? So your host agencies, they call themselves their families. So,
oh, right. Okay.
So from there,
I'm picturing like grandparents, mum, dad.
No, not quite, but there are some agents out there that are almost that in that category.
Okay.
You know, but yeah, so, and I think that from there, they, you know, they do a lot of work with, just educating them on destinations. And then also, like I said, it's really about the networking. So it's all about who they know, not what they know. Versus over here, it's a lot of what we know, not who we know. Like, and, you know, I mean, there are definitely networking opportunities here in Oz, and I definitely have started to see that. But probably when in my time growing up in the travel industry, there wasn't that a lot. Like, there wasn't a lot of, unless it was within your own company, there wasn't really that opportunity to grow and network and out and meet other people not in the industry, whereas they do that a lot, very, very well. So, you know, there's big, huge ones. You know, you probably heard of the Virtuoso one in Vegas. That's the famous one, but they do them constantly. Like, I know BDMs over in the US that literally every week they're flying to a different place to do a different big showcase is what they call them, the big travel showcases. So
they are.
Yeah.
But how hard to like be able to have a family and live the dream at the same time when you've got a job that's so demanding like that.
Yeah. 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 So, you know, they're happy to travel within the US. That's fine. But or the Caribbean or Mexico, which was awesome to go to, by the way. I never thought in my life I'd ever be in Jamaica, but that was fun. But, you know, it's, look, very fortunate because you live, you know, close to Europe, you live close to that whole Caribbean and Mexico space. Like, got to go there quite a lot, which was really cool. Some pretty exciting and memorable things about those destinations. So, yeah, but again, being there, done that, you know, there's other places so cool out there to go and do. But Yeah, so that I hope that answers your question. I guess there is some very vast differences, and I guess at the end of the day, the similarities too are that, you know, especially being so. It's actually interesting. This is something I found out just recently. Is that when I was living in the US, independent agents were probably about maybe 40% of the market of travel businesses. So, like independents now post COVID, it's about 75% are now post or independent agents. So they work from home, they do, you know, so a lot of them were part of a brick and mortar, and now after COVID, a lot of them now work by themselves. So that's really interesting. And I'm not sure what the stats are here in Oz, but it'd be interesting to compare that, because obviously that, you know, had a big pivot in after the pandemic. I think a lot of us probably thought, what on earth is travel going to look like after this? But I think, you know, you always sort of come back to what you're passionate about, and we're all so passionate. That's one thing that everybody across, doesn't matter what country or continent you're on, everyone is passionate about getting out on the plane, traveling around, and helping people live that that dream as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a question, though. I've been talking with TAFE New South Wales a little bit lately, just in conversations, and, you know, there is a big, a big gap in our new people coming into the industry.
Yeah.
So especially in regional areas, like there's not as many people that are choosing travel as a career long-term. And I feel like there is a huge emphasis on, you know, for us, especially to have that study, to have that certificate in travel, to have that diploma in travel, to be able to have that experience, to even walk into an agency and start off as a junior or, you know, a novice or wherever you're starting off in the lingo, whatever they want to start calling you. But yeah, so how does that work in the States? Because I've always queried, like, it just seems like anyone and everyone can be a travel agent, like from a truck driver to a checkout chick, like anyone can be a travel agent if they want to. Like, what's the, you know, prerequisite to be a travel agent in the States? There's none, is there?
There isn't, mate. Like, I could tell you some ripper stories of some of the conversations I've had, and I'm like, sorry, someone paid you money for them to book this? Like, zero idea of a destination or how to get there. Like, I think I had a conversation with someone who had their inquiry was, hi, I want to send my client to Europe. Okay, great. Whereabouts in Europe? What do you mean? What do you mean? And they're like, well, they want to go to Europe. Yeah, that's the continent. What country do they want to go to in Europe? And they just had no idea what I meant. Like, what do you mean? And I'm like, okay, you know, so these were the conversations that I would have a lot, you know, like educating them on where it was in the world, what you could experience, you know, yeah, and even the places that I hadn't been to, I still knew enough to be able to paint the picture, but they didn't. Like, it would literally be like if they got an inquiry straight away and went, hi, I want to go to Fiji, and they go, oh, my God, I have no idea about Fiji. I need to call someone who does. And so they would call the wholesaler straight away, and that would literally be how they would do it. They wouldn't know anything about the client.
Yeah.
They just rely on someone putting a quote together. They could just flick off and go, here you go, let me know.
Yeah. Wow.
So yeah, so that was why I had to put a bit of that parameter or those boundaries in place, because it was like, I'm not here, I love helping, but at the end of the day, I'm also not here to just talk about the destination. Like, if you can't know where that is, that's not up to me. Like, I'm here to help you get the booking and to build that confidence in the space. But I don't have an hour for every call. That means I could only take 8 calls a day. Well, that's not gonna help anybody, right? So
it feels like me. It's taking me back to my backpacker travel days, where I used to work in a backpackers travel agency in Byron and fall in love a million times a day.
Yeah.
But yeah, I used to have to sit there and educate people, because they would come from Sydney, they would fly to Sydney, they would have a few nights in Sydney, and then they'd take the overnight bus to Byron. And this would be the spot where they would just be like, oh my God, this place is amazing, we're never leaving. Yeah. But then they kind of like, you make friends with them because you see them walking up and down the street, backwards and forwards from the, you know, backpackers hostel. You see them at the sandwich shop. You see them, you know, at the bus stop right across the road. Like, you see people around, you get to know people's faces.
Yeah.
So when it's time for them to, you know, stop paying overpriced accommodation, it's time to keep going. They come in, and you know what? It's really hard because you've got to educate each person who comes through on the destination that you're selling them to.
Mm, yeah.
You know, they're doing the East Coast. It's normally Fraser Island, Whitsundays, Cairns. They might zip over across to Darwin. They might, you know, bus it down to Uluru. They might then train it from Uluru to Adelaide. They might do the, you know, something else. You know, like, it just kind of... it just keeps going, but you've got to educate them because they come here with no knowledge of what it is that they want to do, but they want to do it the cheapest way possible. And the way that you've got to sit them down, educate them on what is actually available, then you've obviously got products that you know that you could earn potentially up to 40% commission on.
Yeah.
40% or zero. Like, I want to own a backpackers travel agency. Yeah, so, and then having that, building that trust and that connection, and maybe there could be like a cultural conflict there, like and a language barrier.
Yeah.
You know, I used to always really love the French accents, but sometimes I would call someone French and there would be actually like Israeli or something, and they'd get really like fiery with me. I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm just a Byron Bay girl. Like, what the hell would I know?
Oh my God, I love that. Well, but, yeah, I mean, yeah, listening to your own call actually was very fascinating because I talk quite fast and I'm very Aussie when I want to be. And yeah, and so I'd have questions. I remember my favorite was I was putting an itinerary together for an agent, and I was reading back. I was going back over the itinerary, making sure that everything was right. And I was like, "Yep, so you've got 8 days car hire, and you've got da 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 da." And there was this silence, and she's like, "I'm sorry, what is kaha?" I said, "What?" I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "What is kaha?" I said, "Kaha." Like, how did I say it? Like, what did I say? And she's like, "Oh, 8 days kaha." I said, rental car. Like, you got rent. Like, just that flip of the language. Like, I had to really be conscious of the words that I'd say. Like, I couldn't say brekkie. You didn't get brekkie included. You get breakfast included. You know, there was. I had to very lull back on, like, fall back on the slang mix because they you know, I've got to really be mindful of my audience, right? So, yeah, it taught me a lot, actually, about, you know, being aware of who's around and who's listening. But, yeah, I can imagine you don't want to call a Canadian American and vice versa, you know?
No. No, like, you just ask them, "Oh, no, I'm so, you know," and they go, "Well, guess where I'm from? Guess where I'm from?" It's like, "Oh, I just, you know, I'm bad at this game." I mean, you just tell me, blow me a bone.
No, absolutely. So, yeah, look, I think, it was such a great experience to get to do the other side of the fence too, not just selling to the customer the end product, it was selling to the agent to sell the customer. That was a really cool eye-opening experience, and yeah, really, it's really helped in giving me a very big holistic view of every side of the fence. You know, it doesn't matter if you're corporate, doesn't matter if you're wholesale, doesn't matter if you're a BDM, it doesn't matter if you're online sales reservations, like, you've all got a big part to play. And to be able to have coached in that space, you know, that's why I started my business, right? It's going, like, I'm here to help, to see from a different perspective, you know, get you a bird's eye view of where things are and how to sort of navigate through challenging conversations or challenging customers in all aspects of what role you play in travel. So it's been really cool to get back in the fold again and really, you know, get back to what you generally love. You know, I love to this industry. It's in my veins. I love it so much, and I love the people within it. And yeah, all I want to do is help people to really maximize their opportunities, not only just with the conversations with customers that they're having, or really to have a bit more of a deeper dive into those understanding what they're actually looking for and how you can actually be the right fit. But it's also about, you know, setting yourself up for success. You know, what does your business planning look like? How do you track yourself on a day-to-day? How do you follow up people? Do you have a cycle of a customer from the beginning to lifetime? You know, like, what does that look like? How do you stay in touch? Like, all those little other aspects to your business is something that I absolutely love as well, you know. And if I can tell this really quick little story, that's kind of like, I kind of had the client before I had the business, actually. So I kind of got tapped on the shoulder and said, hey, a friend of mine who I'd worked with in the US had seen the track record that I'd had of flipping a lot of businesses very quickly, you know. And so he had said, hey, I'm working for a travel tour partner group, actually. It's a business over in London. And he's like, and they have a whole bunch of little tiny mum and pop agencies all scattered across the globe. And he said, one of them that I look after is in Napa Valley. Would you go over and do some sales training? And I was like, okay, sure. So kind of took a week. Took a week holiday.
Like, I packed my bag once again. I hit the road.
Yeah, of all the places in the world, I don't mind being in the Napa Valley for a week. That's lovely. So I went over there and I met this little travel team, and they'd been around for a good couple of years. They'd probably been around maybe 10 or 12 years, and they just specialized in England and Ireland and Scotland tours. That's all they did, like accommodation and stuff like that. And so I went in and I met the team and I did one-to-ones with everybody, and very, very quickly I established, just like, happy to do sales training, absolutely would love to give them some tips and tricks on closing and asking quality questions, but I'm telling you that you don't really have a major sales issue. You actually have a leadership challenge, and the person that's running this team is not really doing your team a service. So he's like, right, well, you can tell the CEO. I was like, oh, thinking about, like, who's this Aussie chick coming in and telling us, you know?
what would she know?
And it literally turned into this, like, nearly 2 year partnership where I came in when I started working with them, their conversion was 5%, and by 90 days they were at 37%. So,
oh wow, unreal.
It was a
no girl.
Yeah, and I was like, what? Yes, maybe I do know what I'm talking about. So that was the leap of faith. I just went, I'm gonna leave an industry or a business that I've been with for my whole adult journey, you know, from my 20s to my 30s and more, and I'm gonna just take the jump off the bridge, and I'm gonna just trust that I've got this. And yeah, I was flying, man. I was really doing good, and then the old panty bear derailed that whole thing. You know what though, like, I'm very much an optimist, right? I always go, everything happens for a reason. And I can have my pity party. I'm not one to not have a pity party, but I'm not one to have one for very long. You know, I can have a little bit of a wallow. I can have a whine and have a bit of a cry, but then go, okay, get over it. What are we doing about it? What can you control and what can you do differently? And so, yeah, I actually went into some different industries. So I went and worked in jewelry for a little while. So I went and did area managing for a jewelry company, which was really cool to help business, like the store managers in those businesses, really take some ownership and not call their people staff or just Christmas casuals. Like, that just drove me nuts. I was like, no wonder your turnover's so high, like, no one wants to buy into your journey. So that was real, real cool to change that. And then I left there and went, I'm really going to get uncomfortable, and I worked in construction for 2 years, which,
oh wow,
selling plasterboard. What on earth? Like, don't tell me.
You can sell plasterboard. You can sell anything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, and a very male dominated industry where, you know, they're like, who's this Sheila coming in? And, you know, what does she know? And she's never plasterboarded a house before. Or she's never, you know.
No, and I don't want to, but listen up, buddy.
Exactly. I'm cool with it. I've never done that, guys. But here's what I do know, is that you got to get your shit together, and you got to start liking each other, and you got to start being nice and kind to customers. And, you know, and so, like, it was really I learned a lot about myself. My God, a lot of resilience, a lot of being able to think out of the box. And I'm very, I have always been my whole life a problem solver. Like, throw a problem at me, anything. I don't care. I could actually probably write a book of objections or problems that I've had in my career.
I'm looking forward to that, Nicole.
I feel like that's my jam. But to go from a business that was, you know, coming out of a, also, what did they suffer through pandemic was, you know, suppliers from overseas not getting their, you know, all of their materials that they needed to make the plasterboard and all that stuff. So, you know, my team are having a meltdown going, we're not selling plaster. I'm like, because guys, you've also got 30,000 other products in your product ranges. So we're going to focus on those other things. Like, what are the other things that people can buy that if it's not plaster, what else? And so I had 6 stores in Victoria, and they were by far the highest in their product range lift during the 2 years that I was there. So they, you know, I was recognized to go, your 6 stores, how are you doing that? Like, how is your 6 stores selling all this other stuff through the roof? And, you know, it's like, well, because you can't put all your eggs in the one basket, you know, you've got to spread the love, you've got to look at what else you can offer. And that was that. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to give it another crack. So now I'm back on the scene, and I'm excited to spread my wings a bit, and, you know, definitely want to be back in travel again. But I'm also open to, you know, what else? Like, who else needs help in sales, you know, like BDMs or online reservations or travel professionals, whoever, it doesn't matter. Office works. Who knows? Like, anybody. Nobody's selling anything, you know? It's just going, maybe like one thing that we really did learn a lot being locked down, especially in Melbourne, a lot of lockdowns. Mm. But was that power of connection was really important. And when you didn't have it, like, you felt it a lot. And I think coming out of it, that's what I've noticed. I don't know about you, but that's what I've noticed the most, is people are a little bit more, you know, understanding, or they're a little bit more about that, I need to talk to you in person, or I need to have a Zoom so I can see you, or I need to...
Oh, yes.
Feel that connection.
Yes. Connection. Yeah, of course. Yeah. And I think now, just speaking personally, like, I go through periods where I crave people. Mm. And, you know, some people would see me as an extrovert, but I'm a little bit the opposite. You know, like, I can be it today, but tomorrow could be a different story, or even later on today, or even after this podcast episode. Like, I could go, and I will go, have some lunch and curl up with a cup of tea on the lounge with a book and maybe have a 10-minute nap, you know, like.
Got to build the energy back up, right?
Drag. But what I love about your experience, Nicole, is how you've managed to have this journey. And even though you've had to kind of diversify a little bit in other industries, you've still put all the skills on the same page, right? Like, you're building up your skill set, and you've created, you know, some strategies and some like frameworks in and around how to actually boost that conversion and what it takes to actually get people there and boost those percentages.
Yeah.
Now, before we wrap up, I really want to ask you one last question. Sure. And this is what opportunities you see for us in the Australian travel industry. What opportunities do you see for us moving forward, just with the way, the state of play, the way things are right now?
Yeah, great question. I think from the conversations that I'm having with, you know, travel advisors, you know, even BDMs and online travel businesses, I think there's probably still a little bit of that, you know, some challenges or some roadblocks around how to really navigate through those objections that come through. You know, we're in a bit of a weird economy at the moment. And I think there's a lot of, you know, maybe it's a story we tell ourselves. I don't know. Maybe you've got to get curious about that. But it's just kind of going, you know, no one's buying, no one's serious, people are ghosting me, I'm doing all this time and quoting, or I'm not confident in telling them I've got a service fee. You know, all of those kind of little challenges that we kind of feel a little bit, I wouldn't say scared, but I'd say like that.
Hesitant. Resistant.
Chest a bit, right? It's a bit heavy. And you kind of go, I still feel that is still quite relevant in today's consulting. And so it's really just helping to understand and unpack those roadblocks personally, because I think we all have them. And I think, you know, it's great to see that people in the industry are coming back to the industry that probably potentially left because they had to, and then now they're coming back because it's they're calling
it. Calling their name, yes!
No, but I think the clients haven't necessarily changed a lot, and I think that the internet is still our worst enemy sometimes, you know, but it doesn't have to be. And I think there's definitely a psychology to how we can overcome those personal potential objections that we potentially create ourselves. And I really feel like that's where I could really help, you know, really help to remove those barriers and feel a lot more confident in how you're presenting, how you're working through challenges, and also then, yeah, like really just stepping up your business a little bit and not being afraid to put yourself out there and also not being afraid to say no too. I think that's also probably a little bit of a challenge. But, yeah, I think, yeah, the new age travel is still – it's just evolved. It's just gone. It just keeps growing and growing and growing. And there's still some old ways of maybe how we used to do things, and that hasn't evolved. And I think that that's probably a big opportunity, you know, like, are we getting death by PowerPoint when we go and have presentations? Are we, you know, there's got to be a better way of how you can be partnering with other experts to help leverage you. Because at the end of the day, we can't have been to every hotel. We can't have gone to every place on the planet, but there's definitely people that have your back. And I think it's about really leveraging those relationships to help you be the superhero, because ultimately that was the motto that I took when I was in wholesale, was going, I want to be your silent hero. And there's so many wholesalers and there's so many experts out there that can be your superhero to make you fly. And we just got to trust that, and we got to lean into that. And, yeah, I'd love to be able to help give a few people some capes to.
Aw, look at you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so special. I just got a little, like, wave of goosebumps just go all over my body. That's so, so special. And obviously it's such a huge passion of yours. People are your passion, and that's so evident. I can't wait for everyone to meet you at our Travel Trends Summit. And one last little thing, I think I'd like to just tack on to the end of what Nicole was saying about how, yes, we have got the internet. It does make things a little bit hard for us sometimes, but the internet was designed to be a tool for humans, not the other way around. You know, the internet wasn't supposed to use us.
No.
Without us, the internet wouldn't exist, you know, because it has to stem from somewhere. The information has to come from somewhere. So for us, it definitely is a tool. And we'll be touching more on that at the Travel Trends Summit, how to, you know, boost our sales and conversions in that online capacity. You've got a terrific workshop coming up. Cannot wait for it. But in the meantime, Nick, how can people reach out to you and start the conversations and get to meet you online? Where can they find you?
Yeah, sure. I have my website, which is birdseyeviewconsulting.com. They can reach out through there. You can book an appointment to have a discovery call with me, just to have a chat, really, just to see how you're feeling and if there's anything that you feel that we could chat through to help you get that cape on and start soaring. The other thing is I'm on social media. So I'm on Bird's Eye View Consulting through Instagram, which I think my handle is birds_eye_view_consulting1, I think. God, that's a lot. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Oh, my God. I think you can put it in the show notes, Steph. So
absolutely.
And in all honesty, I just, if you do need anything, please reach out on any platform that I'm at. I would absolutely love to have a chat. And that it absolutely costs you nothing, right? It's really just going, just call me and see how you're feeling at the moment. And if that's something that we can work through together, then I would absolutely love to help anybody in that space.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
See you in May at the Travel Trends Summit.
I'm so excited. I'm really excited to meet the people too that are in your family. Like we've
my family.
The Travel Trend Summit family. And I'm super thrilled to be there. So thank you so much for having me, and thank you for today.
Thanks. We'll see you there.
See you there.